First of all, thank you so much for coming. And I already know that Jesse over there and then this gentleman here, they're already, you guys are already a mobile expert coming into here. But I'm not sure, are you familiar then doing mobile? Oh, so you come here and like new. So yeah, so maybe just for the two experts here, if you find it too basic, please feel free to move somewhere. But this is really intended more as introductory and also a discussion of my experience working with a mobile app that actually was a US cellular, more enterprise kind of environment. So yeah, so you're welcome to ask question anytime. So few people, I can make it like less formal too as such. So thank you. Okay, so I'll just introduce myself. So my name is Mary Griglesti. I'm actually a Java developer advocate at IBM. So for mobile, I'm not really expert at the company, but what happened is I actually have this talk, and it is ApacheCon, so naturally, too, I submit a talk that it's related to Apache. So that's actually this Apache Cordova that I'll be discussing. And as such, too, it's just more like discussing this from an experience and sharing the experience with you. So if you'd like to follow me, too, I'm on Twitter, too. Here is my handle. And actually, I also should point out, my primary focus now is doing Java, and it's in reactive Java space. And in particular, it's like with reactive systems like Akka and the Lagom microservices framework. So just so you know. So. Okay, I think I need to point here. Okay, so I actually did this talk to a year ago or so, and then I did it at a few places. And why I'm doing this is that it's exactly what it is here. It's like I also am naming my talk, and I call it a title, like to make it a little bit like more fun. I call it like, what to do when your boss needs a native mobile app in less than 24 hours. So I can kind of show it to you too. It's using Cordova, it is true, you can kind of quickly deploy it like a normal web app, you know, in HTML, CSS, JavaScript, you can actually quickly bring it up, provided that it isn't like way too complicated or way too, you know, too many things on your web layer. So first of all, too, I thought I'd bring this up. Okay, so I give some background, too. Before joining IBM, I've been with IBM for 1 year, and I'm a developer advocate. But before that, I was doing mostly engineering work and also like in IT department, like development work. So I was at a US cellular, cell phone provider company based in Chicago, and that's where I'm from, too. I'm from Chicago. So over there, too, as such, it is actually, I work for the business operation, you know, side, so kind of processes that supports the business. So as such, we have like cell phone customers that are subscriber that we provide on my account. You know, just like your cell phone service, too, you can sign on to an account on your desktop, or now a lot of times, I guess these days everybody has a mobile app too, like basically your My Account is a mobile app. So US Cellular too, at the time when I was there, when I was joining, they were kind of using the normal web interface to their My Account and use it on the web browser on your phone. So that's not really a true native mobile app. And obviously there's a lot of problems too, that's just slower and everything, you're relying on your browser on your phone. So the company then was like, okay, well, let's, you know, try to hurry. Everybody has mobile app now, a true mobile app. Let's do something about it. So at the time I was joining, there was already folks talking about it, and then they were, and then I joined. It was kind of in the middle of that, and they were then leaning towards using the hybrid mobile app framework, which is now what I'm going to talk about, is the Apache Cordova, and it's basically it takes the normal web app and convert it very quickly and generate the code that you need to run on. Deploy it onto Android and also iOS or Windows Phone. But at the time, we were choosing only Android and iOS. So just an example, too, of that enterprise ecosystem that I was dealing with. So as such, it is a company that handles like enterprise customers. So these are customers that subscribe to our cell phone service. And so over here, just give you an idea, it's actually older tech architecture, but just to show it to you. So they have a vendor that owns and kind of do this, it's still actually still J2EE, kind of older J2EE, which is before the current enterprise edition, running like Java JDK 6 to pretty old. And they have telecom like BSS and OSS, those are the telecom stack for managing business operations. So that's all in like older EJB, Enterprise Java Beans framework. And so in order to talk to them, so over there too, like for example, like these business services such as like order management, customer, subscriber, account information, things like that will be in here. Some shipping information, and some things are manual too. So anyway, so it's just an older piece of software in here, sitting in here, quite, something like 700 enterprise Java beans, and it's really slow. So in the meantime, so how do, like, the rest of the company kind of connect to get the services? Then they will be, like, using this SOAP layer. So that's a SOAP is the older enterprise service bus architecture. So using the SOAP interface, basically have SOAP header and envelope, and it's kind of, you need to generate your, using like web services with the description language, they call it WSDL. And basically you define all your services and that you publish the interface. And so, long story short, so that's the layer that's using it as an Oracle service bus that it uses. So, and then also at the same time too, then another vendor came in and they have UX, the UI framework wants to access that. So it gets kind of like pretty complicated and everything. In the meantime, now going back to the front end side, so now customers, they are using their phone. They were using actually their web laptop, and they use the web browser on the phone, and they basically access an Angular JS app. And that's the one that provides you with the my account functionality in there. And this actually also connects to like shopping too, and using Oracle ATG Shopping, the commerce server there, and another like content management system of Oracle side. And so it actually costs a lot of money to maintain as well. So companies said, basically management was just saying, oh, let's do something quick and all that. So then they basically did some study and decided hybrid approach would be good. So let's then take a look. So essentially that's kind of like the problem statement we were given. We're saying that, well, native mobile app developers, such as like for Android and iOS, are hard to find. And the in-house developers are all web developers, then what can we do? So now then we did decide on basically picking Apache Cordova to help to solve the problem. It's open source, and it's also quite kind of the command line interface to work with it is also quite simple, and I will show that to you too. So what is Cordova then? So Cordova itself is actually, it enables web app to basically convert it and into like, native mobile operating surface. And that's actually being done through like HTML rendering, and there's a web view. That layer will basically, you write your code into JavaScript, and that will actually be the web view that interprets this code on your phone, like that. So, and then you'll be wondering too, then what about some of the specific phone structure, like phone functionality, such as like your camera, your geolocation, and your media network device. So Cordova is actually kind of nice, the architecture is that it allows you to write plugins that interface with all the specific features, components on your phone. So they are like being done through using their plugins. And two is that not only you use their predefined plugins, you can also write your own custom plugins as well. So that's kind of like a nice thing, and I believe Jesse is going to talk more about some plugins in details too later. So, yeah. And so you can see too, you can probably already can tell maybe, running this Cordova application on your phone may have some performance implication, because then you need that layer to render all your HTML, interpret that, and then feed it into your native OS underneath. So. And so now just a picture illustrating about this hybrid framework. So for hybrid, over here you have a web wrapper framework, such as like Cordova. Then it leverages on a web view on your browser. And basically then it kind of translate that to operate onto your phone, onto the operating system on your phone. Whereas if you look at like native framework directly like Android or iOS, then it talks directly to your mobile operating system. So as such, it's more efficient too. So, and I just also give you some examples too. These are like a list of all the plugins that Cordova has. So if you look at the Cordova, when we interact with it, I've also always been like using is the command line, the CLI to do it. And it's available for Android, BlackBerry 10, iOS, Ubuntu, all these two. So it's quite a range of mobile devices that it supports. And then you have embedded web view. You can take a look too at these. and there's plugin interface, and then there are some of the core plugin APIs such as battery status. These are all available for all, you know, all the devices except for OS 10 for the Mac, and camera capture and all these context events. So it's pretty capable as such. And so now let's talk a bit then about Cordova plugin. So what is Cordova plugin? So a plugin is really a bit of add-on code that provides JavaScript interface to your native components. That's what it is. So they allow your app to use native device capabilities beyond what is available on your web app. One thing I actually wanted to, this is just an example in here, this Meteor web app plugin. But I wanted to point out, over here, there's a very useful plugin at the time when we were working on the, developing the Cordova app. It's actually, we use Hot Code Push plugin. So what Hot Code Push does is that if there are updates made to your app, your web app, so basically if you can register it so then it automatically pushed all the updates to the phone where it has already, you know, installed your app. So this way too, it's silent, you do all the install, then there's no need, like I'm a user, I basically log on, and then once your phone is logged on, then we can kind of immediately from the server side, we test and see if the phone, the version on your phone for the app, the My Account app, is lower in version. If it is lower, then we'll silently push all of the changes. Changes such as like images, HTML, some JavaScript into there. Now, we can't do hot code push on every single kind of set of changes. Like for example, some majors, like structural changes on your code. Code side, then you do need the user to install a new version. But otherwise, too, for the most part, we can actually, you know, even like every 6 months, it's basically once you have this app, we do silent push of all the updates onto your phone. So it's a very convenient feature. The only thing is that the challenge, though, is that it's in testing it, because how do you kind of determine, like, between different pushes that user are not missing, like their phones are not missing any updates? So that's the thing that when we were doing testing, that was like a challenge, is our QA testers was trying to kind of determine that. We later decided to kind of do an internal build number. It's basically labeled every time if there's any changes, we kept an internal list of changes, and basically kind of test to make sure the hot code push is working. But for the most part, this particular hot code push, this plugin works pretty good. So. Okay, then I'll talk a bit too about Cordova events and the supported platforms. So look at this, so Cordova too, as such, these are mobile devices, so it's rely a lot on like events, right, to kind of like initiate a lot of, trigger any action to do. So basically, too, when you bring up your app, when you load up your app, there's always an event called device ready. So when that device ready event is triggered, it means that the device, everything is loaded up. Then basically, Cordova is loaded up, then your app can then start doing things. So that one is like the basic kind of first event that needs to happen when you're, you know, running your app in that case. Then there are other events such as like you pause, kind of resume and back button and menu button, all of these kind of like user interface will trigger actions to it too. But these are like some of the, you know, the kind of like very, you know, the kind of commonly used events, yeah, for Cordova. So. And basically you can also see too in Android too has a lot of support for a lot of these events too. I believe that actually now iOS is more too. This is slightly a bit older slide, so I think iOS is a bit more supportive of some of these events already. So now then, let me then get to doing a bit of a demo of using Cordova. Okay. So actually, okay. I guess I have to. Okay, I think I have to actually stop my. Okay. So what I'd like to first show is basically using Cordova. I know some folks also come in the middle. Are you already familiar with Cordova at all? Oh, you are, right? So maybe you'll find this a bit kind of elementary, just so you know too. But anyway, so over here too, I just want to like show like using the command line. So first of all too, in order to run Cordova, you do need to install Cordova, and using NPM, you can install that. And then also too, in this case, I'm just going to do demo on Android. So then I already have my Android Studio installed, as well as like define an emulator for that too. So all that too, like you can find those information on your, in your Android Studio too. And then also, another thing is that I was going to show is running the Android debugger, the command line debugger, ADB. So you do need to install the Android. There's a platform tools too that you need to install. So that's something to let you know too. That I already have done. So, okay. So over here. So just very simple too. Like I've already installed Cordova. So if you run actually over here, Cordova, you can just do a help too. Like Cordova help will show you a list of all the commands that you can use. So you'll find it to be actually quite easy to kind of pick up. And of course, if you want to do something fancier, then it will take more time. But just want to show you something to get started. Let's say you just want to like start from scratch, and what do you do? So you can just do a Cordova, do a create. Maybe let's say Apache con, we call it. So basically, you initiate this app and this project, and I call it Apache con. So I create this, it basically creates the folder. So it's like a container for the Cordova to work on for your project. So over here then, what you can do now too is then take a look at, well, at this point, if you create it, there's nothing, or actually it's not completely nothing, but there's some kind of like already like predetermined set of folders. As you can see, let me kind of point out too. First and foremost too, basically the config descriptor here, config.xml, you can do a lot of the configuration in here. We can take a look too. So if you look in here, it has name and description, kind of standard XML kind of attributes. And then basically too, things of interest would be, if you look into here, over here too, for example, you can define all your plugins. It's basically, that's how you can add your plugins in. You make use of your config.xml. And over here too, by default too, it already defines you like two sections, which is for Android and also for iOS. And again, these are just like blank. Yeah, so nothing like outside of the default is being defined in there. But I just want to quickly show you that. And then another thing of interest is that if you look into www folder. So if you create some like kind of a canned kind of app, right? So it's kind of already pre-made for you. So if you look into your JavaScript folder, there's a, oh wait, yeah, that's right. So there's an index.js. So that's created for you. But I just want to point out too is if you look into here, I mentioned earlier too about the events. So Cordova event is that on device ready. So basically telling it that your app can start doing things is basically wait for your Cordova, all of your components to get loaded. And then it's basically the device ready event will get emitted when your device is ready for your app. So it's right here too. So over here, so just wanted to point out, right? So device ready will be here. And then you can also then have, you know, other, you know, doing your update of your DOM over here too. So, and then doing the app initializing here. So that I just wanted to quickly point out to you. And then you can see that the structure in this www folder is essentially what your web app would be. Let's say if you want to move some web app, it's entirely, you know, in JavaScript, HTML, CSS, you can basically copy the whole folder and drop it into the www folder. And basically also tweak your config.xml and to make things work. Okay, so if you go back up into this top level, then there's also a folder platforms. So platforms right now is empty. So let's see what happened now. If you do a command called Cordova platform, doing an platforms LSO.
Yeah. Doing a platforms LS basically list out what are the available platforms that you can install or to add into your app. So in this particular case, in my installation, it will you can actually have Android or the browser, iOS, OS X 10, and also the Windows. But in our case, what we want to do now is do a platforms add and do Android. So sometimes it can take a while, but yeah. So over here too, this by default, as you can see too, it just create this project and adding the Android platform into it. And because it, you know, depending on how you configure your config.xml, over there I tell it to have my package name is io.cordova.hellocordova. That's just a default thing that I'm taking. So you can always like change things too, and your Android version, everything is it reads from the config.xml and basically generate your Android platform information. So if you go into the platform directory, now you should then see the Android folder being created. So if you take a look into your Android, then it basically all this stuff is kind of created for you. These are by default. So at this point, what we can do, actually, you can quickly kind of test it out to make sure it shows up on your phone. But first of all, let's do the emulator first. So what you can do is that in order to bring up your app onto your phone, onto your mobile device, you can do a Cordova run. So now it will then do all the build. And again, you do need Gradle. It's the build tool that you do need to have it. So. And so, actually, okay, cool. So you can see it, right? Okay, cool. Yeah, see. So again, I already did this before, so that's why you're showing up the emulator. But for you to do it, you do need to do a bit of work just configuring the emulator. I'm just using a Nexus phone in this case. So, and sometimes the thing is that as we found out when I was working with my team is that it can take some time, and I'm sure the experts can say too, it's kind of strange. Sometimes you keep deploying, then nothing would work, and then you ended up have to shut down and clean up everything, and clean up your emulator, then it works again. That still, I don't quite know what was causing it. I just don't have time to figure it out, but maybe some internal reasons too that cause it. But in this case, so as you can see, I think. Interestingly, my app actually, I don't know what it is, some permission? Actually, I was able to bring it up earlier, too. I'm not sure why. This Hello Cordova app, maybe it's still loading.
Did it install the icon?
The icon on my phone?
Yeah. Maybe you can just manually run it on the phone? There should be like a Cordova
icon. Oh, yeah, the Hello World, right? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought too. See, that's kind of strange. Like, sometimes I'm not sure what it is. Now, let's see. I can restart it too. That's the kind of things I sometimes run into because I tested out earlier too, right? Before the talk, I tested it, it's actually show up and then install it, right? So now I'm not sure why. But okay, well, let's do this one thing. Maybe I will I'll just shut this off and then restart, kind of restart it again. Or maybe over here, let's do this. So basically, you can also use your command line debugger and then take a look too to see what devices are being connected. Well, actually, right now I also have my phone connected. It's actually, I'm surprised actually it doesn't go to my phone. I think because I was unplugging and plugging in because then it's asking me for permission. But let's do it again. So I can actually do an ADB. If you look into the list of commands too for ADB, basically start server, that basically you start up your server and you can kill it, essentially, should clean things up. So that's what I'm going to do now. So now, I think because let me not connect my phone first because it may kind of like confuse things. Okay, let me do it again. Let me kill it again. So now if I do a devices, oops, I think because, okay, so now it's showing that my emulator is up. I'm not sure if I could do a, do it again. Kill server. I just want to kill it and doing a list again. Now then it starts fresh. And so hopefully, maybe because of that. Okay, let's do that again. So if we do a Cordova run and see if this time it brings up the Hello World app onto your phone. So. Okay, it should show up, please. Oh, it's behind, I think. Here, yeah. So now you can see. So this is just a kind of blank, kind of default, like dumb app. But at least it shows it to you that how easy it can be done, like using your command line, Cordova, basically create a project and then add your platform and essentially do a Cordova run. Then this will show up. Yeah. So as such, I mean, it doesn't do anything other than just a default, you know, image and the app installed. So this is, again, just the basic kind of steps to show you. But then let me then also quickly, too, because I found out actually times go by so fast, but let me then also quickly show you in terms of doing enterprise app, right? So just for the demo purpose, too, I actually have kind of put together quickly, although then I'm having some course problems, so I cannot really be running it, but I just want to quickly show you, too. It's just an app that I call it, it's basically has been deployed onto the IBM Cloud Foundry, the server, and I just call it a Cordova backend. So essentially, it's just a dumb application, has two endpoints, RESTful APIs, and basically I then develop a React app. So it's basically do fetch, you know, to call these. And supposedly, too, I should be able to then run the Cordova and then bring it up and show it on my phone. So, but let me quickly show you the code, too. So over here, I have a Cordova. This backend server is basically a Spring app, a Spring Boot app. So over here is using Spring, if you're familiar with Spring Java. So it's just standard boilerplate. You know, you start your Cordova app in here doing that run. So launch it, and basically, too, this is my backend code. And if you go to Cordova app, this is Cordova app, and then Cordova, what is it? Yeah, so yeah, that's right. So all it does is just brings it up. And then if you look into here, too, I have like just a phone, a standard like phone definition of my phone structure, phone information. But over here, this is my controller. So the controller will expose the two endpoints, and over here too, this is seeing okay, right? So over here, if you see, then I just have like two endpoints, and basically what it does is doing a get balance, you know, get like a subscriber trying to dial into your or log on to your My Account, take a look at your balance, you know, and of course this is just all dumbed down, but this gives you an idea. You have you can define your endpoint in here, and basically too. You can also get a list of phones, for example, and over here too, all it does is just doing a list, and then basically it adds these phones, and for now it's hard-coded. So I have just two endpoints in here. So now this is the server-side app, but I'll just quickly then also show you. I already deploy it onto the IBM Cloud too. There's just a series of steps too, using the command line. You can actually then essentially follow that using IBM Cloud, the command line, you basically add this log into it and basically do a Bluemix, like essentially is a push this particular Cordova talk back end to your IBM Cloud server. So that's what it is. So as such, it's already been deployed, so I won't kind of re-show all the steps. It's not the, you know, goal of this talk. So now if I go back to my app, then look at the front end side for the mobile app, React app. So I have this React app. I call it Cordova Talk front end OC1 in here. And if you look into the source, it's a React app. So if you take a look into the app itself, it extends React.component. So again, it's a regular JavaScript React app. So over here too, it's just doing welcome to this app, and then do basically call. A component is the balance and the store. So I'll take a look into the balance. So the balance in here too is just extend another React component. So basically, all these things, I won't go into detail. But I just want to quickly show you, too. I had it actually working on AWS before, but now working for IBM. So I deployed onto IBM Cloud. So this is just a different endpoint. But now, though, I won't be able to show because some problem with the security. But I just wanted to show the code to you. So it's just as simple as here. You just like connect and basically fetch and then connect to your endpoint and get back the result. And it should then load up, you know, basically take all of these things and basically do a render. So the render should then be on your front end. So you should be able to see. For example, over here, I just say like $199 or something. Same thing, too, for the phone item, too. Actually, I should say there's another like store, too, I call it. So another also React component in here. This one, it calls the other endpoint to get a list of all your phones in here. So essentially, that's the app. Then what I'll show you in this case is, I think I have like about 15 minutes or so. So I'll just go back to this guy. Oh, I should just go back here. So, okay. So now I already show you how to launch this, but I just wanted to quickly show you. So what happened is that when you are let's say you have the app, and just now I was showing you the front end. So all you need to do in this case, it's basically copy your JavaScript, your front-end application. You basically drop it into this www folder and essentially run the same steps and do a Cordova, make sure you add your platform. You can do iOS as well, and then basically then do a Cordova run, and that should then basically bring up your app onto your phone. And that's how, this is like the basic steps, how you do it. Okay. And then what other thing? I think those are the things, but I'll go back to my the lecture part for now. Since I already showed you a couple of how to make use of the command line, so I won't go to it now. But I'll go to the next set of discussions, which is like what to watch out for. So as such, too, using like hybrid mobile app approach, you have to be aware of performance issue. And I already point out that we have the web view layer that actually that interprets. Have to, you know, every time you run your code, then it has to basically interpret and translate the JavaScript and then into your Android side. So it will always take some, you know, slowing down. So which means that you should not use hybrid approach if you're doing game development. You don't want to do it, right? Do that because games you want very interactive, very responsive. However, if it is like in an enterprise situation, for example, like my account, if customers just wants to dial in or connect to my account and take a look to see, you know, how much money they have in their account and they want to browse around, and those that you don't need any kind of speed and responsiveness, you can actually quickly use a hybrid approach to do that. So that will be like, you know, like essentially you use the right tool for your right job. So hybrid approach, I'd say recommend is for some enterprise apps that are more like, you know, doesn't require any speed. So. And then another thing to be aware of is basically the native features lag. As such, too, every time if there's an Android upgrade or iOS or native OS upgrade, then your Cordova will need to also like be rebuilt, and the folks working on Apache Cordova, they have to take the new things and basically rebuild and do whatever is needed. So that will mean there will always be a lag. I mean, unless there are more people to work on the Apache Cordova, maybe you can make it more instant. But otherwise, too, you cannot expect, okay, Android has come up with some new thing that my app should get it. No, it probably won't. You still need to wait a little bit for the Cordova to come out with this support for the new features. So that's another thing to be aware of. And then another thing is with the look and feel issue, because as such, Cordova actually is very powerful. I'd say it's on more the plugin on the kind of the, you know, the server side, like the, you know, that kind of functionality, provide you with, you know, interface to your, you know, through plugins and talk to your device, kind of features and all that. But in terms of the look and feel, it doesn't really do a very good job. I mean, if you look at it, you do any kind of Cordova app, it comes out, it's kind of, you know, the interface is not something that's attractive at all. Now, but for that, I would recommend using Ionic. I myself haven't done it yet, but Ionic is another open source project. And Ionic actually has a much better, like, user interface, too. And that's also built on top of Cordova. So it makes use of all the Cordova, like, plugins. You can actually quite easily kind of
go, you know, kind of go into using Ionic. Let's say you are using Cordova and you want to kind of switch it to using Ionic. I believe it's actually is should be pretty smooth because Ionic supports Cordova as well. And of course, too, I mean, for a hybrid mobile app as such, too, this isn't like talking about UI kind of thing, so you cannot expect, you know, the look and feel to be like real, real perfect. Now, another competing thing right now is actually progressive web apps. Yeah, so progressive, too. But as such, progressive is slightly different, too. It's not really kind of handling, dealing with the native kind of, you know, things on underneath, and it has its translation, and it's coming, came out of Google. So I myself haven't used it yet, but I believe that's also because of it being like easier to use for web developers, so that's kind of gaining popularity as well. So I see some of you have nodding your head, so you probably are familiar with that too. So, okay. So, and then another thing to be aware of is basically some authentication and session management. Like, let's say in hybrid mobile app too, like when you can't, some of these kind of concern with authentication, session management, let's say if you forgot your password and things like that, you may want to kind of, if you're kind of using Cordova to convert it into a mobile app, you may want to make sure you visit those areas of your app that deals with the security aspect. Because if you just do direct translation, there might be something that deals with all the state of the app that you need to be aware of, basically. So those are kind of things to be aware of. I just want to highlight these few things. Okay, so now also let me then bring to another kind of discussion is about all of the alternative approaches. And I already mentioned about progressive web apps. Because I come from more Java space, so there's Vaadin that actually I'm aware of that they do progressive web apps for Java, for JVM too. And then, of course, it's as such too, progressive web apps comes out of from Google as well. So, another thing I also already talked about is basically the Ionic. Yeah, actually, I didn't even know I didn't bring back to the presentation view. Sorry. I forgot when I kind of come back to this. Yeah. It's just easier to look at when you're looking at presentation view rather than like the, you know, not presentation view. But anyway, okay, sorry. And then another thing is Kotlin native. So let's say for Android, basically, well, actually not just Android, but Kotlin itself also has come up with their Kotlin native interface too. It's actually, I've seen apps that are using Kotlin too, and it's quite efficient. I myself haven't spent as much time to look into it, so cannot kind of judge so much of it, but there are people who actually are big fans of Kotlin. They think it's kind of a pretty good interface. And of course, too, there's also React Native that comes out of Facebook, and it's basically based on their React JavaScript, too. So that's another alternative. And then on another thing, too, I just want to point out, because, again, I come from the Java space, so there's also this framework called Gluon, too, and that's a Java kind of a specific framework for developing web interface and mobile interface, too, and quite nicely. So, okay. Okay, so I think I have about 5 minutes or so. But over here, too, I'm almost like coming to the end now. Just wanted to point out to you for IBM. IBM actually has, on the IBM cloud, we have a mobile foundation. It's essentially giving you a platform, too, to develop like enterprise, like mobile app, too. So if you like, you can visit this link that I provided here. Actually, it's in the next slide as well. So, oops, here. So yeah, this is how you can follow me if you like to follow me on Twitter. That's my handle, and my GitHub, and then also my profiles on the developer.ibm.com. And this is a link to the Mobile Foundation that gives you more information too about the Mobile Foundation capability in the IBM Cloud. And also over here too, I'd like to just give this out to you. Is that IBM Cloud actually gives out some free accounts, and it doesn't cost you anything, and it doesn't, you know, it's no obligation, and you can keep the account, you know, kind of without expiration. But of course, too, you can't use everything. But if you want to, like, try something out there, because IBM has many packages you can try out, like even some of the Watson AI and machine learning things at Watson Studio, we have kind of like the light layer, too, that you can also try out, too. What's it called, like light layer or some light version, something like that, like the free tier version. And you can try things out in there. So I'd like to encourage you to sign up for IBM Cloud using this link. And then also, there's also the IBM Developer Newsletter for mobile. So this is the link to it. So every month, or every, I'd say it more like every 2 months, there is a newsletter that's published too about mobile. Any kind of mobile news and development news, things of that nature. So, yeah. Okay, so I think with this then, I come to an end, and I want to thank you for coming to my talk. I apologize again. I wish I had solved that one problem. You know, I could have shown you that one app that I have kind of developed, the little sample app to show it. But at least now you know, if you want to like pick up Cordova and try to do it quickly, convert your normal web app, bring it up onto the mobile app, and that's how you can do it quite quickly. So, yeah, that's the advantage. So, yeah, so if you have any questions, please stay in touch or have any suggestions and let me know. Also, too, not just myself, but there are many like developer advocates too at IBM that are specializing in mobile side of things too. So please feel free to reach out too, and I can connect you with folks too in the company. So thank you. Thank you so much. Okay.